Nashville, October 12. This past October 12th, Columbus Day, was the kind of unexpectedly cold day that makes grown men like me sleep through their alarm clocks. That morning, a flat, gray, homely one, the state had its first frost. That afternoon, ex-Governor Jefferson Terrell was driven into downtown Nashville to face a grand jury on the charge that he had paid over $100,000 to accomplish the murder of James Horn the previous July. Terrell's car, a somber black 1969 Fleetwood, was chauffeured by a soldiery-looking man with short sandy hair brushed back like Nixon's Mr. Haldeman. Terrell's new lawyer, a slick gray fox, also from Houston, was riding in the back seat with him. The media coverage for the upcoming trial had by this time risen above the noise level of Procter & Gamble's newest soap detergent commercials. People would hear about the trial on the radio coming home from work, then find it staring up at them from the newspaper on their front porch, then get hit with it on both the local and network TV news programs. People from the hills were already planning weekends around a Friday at the trial and a Saturday trip to Opryland. Over 3,000 of them greeted Terrell at the courthouse on the 12th. John Boy struggled up out of the Cadillac, revealing patent leather loafers, then a gray banker suit, then a pasty death mask face. Not that much had changed about Terrell's general demeanor, though. He held one of his familiar dollar cigars instead of smoking it, but otherwise it was the way he'd been around the Capitol for all the years I'd ever seen him there. He shook a few hands and gave a proper politician's wave all around. Yes, his health was just fine, he answered a query from some well-wisher in a checkered bird-dog hat. Then a little man in a gray raincoat got a hold of Terrell's hand and wouldn't let him go. Bad times, the man was heard to say a few times. But it's a good, strong country all the same, John Boy told him. Isn't it a good country we've got here, my friend? The eyes of the man in the raincoat blinked on and off. Then he let go of Terrell's hand. John Boy then bulled his way up the 43 courthouse stairs and disappeared inside without once looking back. He'd make a fine corpse, Lewis Roston muttered from somewhere behind me. Mr. Dickens in his neat mystery, Martin Chuzzlewit. During the secretive grand jury proceedings, the newspaper men and TV guys sat around the second floor of the courthouse drinking free Folger's coffee. Occasionally we'd get official word that nothing was happening. Some Nashville policeman had the job of coming in to tell us that nothing was happening. His one big news break was the information that ex-Governor Terrell had taken some pills from a little black snap case just before he went in to meet with the grand jury. A long-haired northern reporter stood up and said with a straight face, "Sergeant, could you give us anything on the color of the pills?" That was the big laugh of the morning. In fact, that was the morning. Just after lunch, though, we finally got a little surprise. A Tom Wolfish young man, the new Tom Wolfe, walked into the press room to make an important announcement for Mr. Terrell. He was a little dandy, in a white suit and polka-dot bow tie, Yale, without any doubt. Word went out that he was Terrell's own son. "Contrary to the suspicions of many of you here," he read from a small brown pad, "my father is not planning to sneak out a back door to a second Cadillac after these proceedings." The petulant young man looked up at us as though he'd really stung it to us. "Following the grand jury session," he continued without aid of his pad, "Mr. Terrell will entertain questions from the press outside." With that, Terrell's son stalked out of the room.